Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my beautiful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. And today we are talking about something that applies to lots of us women, but also to men, because there are always different trends, different fashion statements, and different expressions that people like to make through their outward appearance. So today we're going to be talking about fashion and trends, which is such a fun topic.
Oh my gosh.
And just like any other topic, it can still bring us to a deeper understanding of who God is. You know, Michelle, every time I think about fashion, I immediately think about the word expression.
Because each
person has a different voice within them that expresses themselves in a variety of ways. For some of us, it's art. For some of us, it's music. For some, dance. For me, it was and still is in a lot of ways theater. And unlike trends, this doesn't always change in a way that shows that a person changes and changes and changes in terms of who they are and what they like. You know, you have people who love the color yellow and they will love the color yellow as they grow. You have people that love the color blue and there's always something about that in their clothes. And I love coming at fashion from the perspective of, am I extending myself personally rather than am I keeping up with the times?
Okay.
And one of the things that I thought was so super cute, I'm going to be very girly for a minute, speaking of extending a personal attitude, is this little teacup set that we brought on the air today. And this is an example of a really cool trend called a mommy and mini tea set.
Oh my.
And so you have the larger version on the bottom, and then you have the same design of the smaller teacup to give to your daughter, to give to a lady that you admire. Wonderful as an upcoming Mother's Day gift, since we're going to be on the show probably after Mother's Day.
Sure.
But I love it because these are the kind of trends that people can start or people can get on board with. And they're fun. And I think sometimes we forget that when it comes to self-expression, God does want us to have fun. Fun is allowed.
Oh,
you
I
know,
love that.
God is a fun God. He wants us to be able to showcase his design in us. And I think we have to remember that just because we focus on style, that does not mean that we're focusing also on superficiality.
Oh, there's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, this week is in the world, but not of it. So we can be in the ocean and not swallow it all, right?
I love that.
Let's talk about some fashions that were very popular in years gone by. Tiny feet. The Chinese people had developed a shoe called the lotus shoe.
Yes, the Chinese foot binding.
And they would bind their little girls' feet with ribbon to have this super tiny foot that epitomized femininity in their mind. It was outlawed in 1912, but people still did it in the villages.
Wow.
There's a beautiful shade of bottle green called Scheele's Green, and then ladies were wearing it with this cloth dyed this green. To have this dress was amazing. The problem was they got it by dipping the cloth in arsenic.
Oh.
Yes, and people suffered skin reactions, and some dressmakers even died.
Wow.
From working with arsenic-laden cloth.
Oh, my goodness.
The crinoline. Thank God we don't have to wear crinolines anymore. This big hoop skirt, this big bell-shaped. You know, you've seen the Barbie cakes.
Yes.
With the cake. And, yeah, they wore these dresses. You couldn't get through the door.
Wow.
In these dresses.
Yes.
They were originally linen, stiffened. But then the steel came. Can you imagine around with a steel skirt?
That sounds awful. Oh, my goodness.
Well, not only were they unwieldy, they were dangerous. In 1858, a young woman in Boston died because her skirt caught on fire.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
She couldn't reach the outer edge to put it out.
Oh, my goodness.
There were 19 such deaths recorded that year in Boston.
Wow.
Corsets. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you've seen the period programs where girls are getting laced up in corsets, whalebone wood or steel. They bruised ladies' organs and caused them to shift around trying to get this ridiculous hourglass figure.
Isn't that awful?
And the last thing I'm going to talk about is the bustle.
Oh, yes. The famous bustle. Yes.
In the beginning, they just put some excess fabric tight, put it underneath there. Mm-hmm. But then it wasn't big enough. Their behind wasn't big enough.
I was going to say, those things really make a statement when you see them.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm pretty sure they're bigger.
Oh, my gosh. They had cushions filled with straw.
Wow.
That they would tie on. And they had these a lot of in the back.
Wow.
So, okay, we can laugh at that,
right.
But what do we see?
Yeah. And, you know, these are actual real journeys of what women have done over time, because the standard for beauty has changed in many ways. And per culture, it looks different. I actually, when I was at Michigan State, I was in a show called The Waiting Room.
Okay.
And that's actually how I learned a lot about the Chinese foot binding and the curling of the toes that these girls would go through. I mean, their toes were actually crushed. The bones were crushed and bent under because the standard of beauty at that time was the smaller the foot, the more beautiful the woman. Mm. And then there was another character who did wear the corset, and we were all in this waiting room at the doctor's office. That was the premise of the show. And we're all focused on how to be more beautiful. And we represented different time periods. And the woman who wore the corset, she actually was in the process of letting go of the fact that she probably wasn't going to be able to have a baby, because those corsets would crush so badly that your uterus would get ruined. And so here we are in the irony of 2025 saying, look at what women have gone through. And now for us, what is our own version of this? Because there is a medium, I think, you can have between wanting to feel beautiful, even look modern, you know, have some of the things in your closet that you've seen on television or you've seen on models. But if we have a heart posture towards God that yields more towards what we're wearing than towards Him, that's when it becomes a problem. Nothing regarding your health should ever be jeopardized. Nothing regarding the status of your walk should ever be compromised for the fact that you're trying to convey a form of beauty. Mm. And it's hard, because as women, especially young girls now, there is so much pressure, Michelle. There is so much pressure to be desirable in so many different ways. So you're looking to the left, you're looking to the right. What are you looking for? Responses from men, responses from boys.
Girls.
Or girls, absolutely.
To be admired by your peers.
Yes, absolutely. And when that's your driving force, you know, I want that affirmation and I'll do anything to get it. That's when it becomes the problem, you know, but we're all prone to this, right? Just like any other sin, wherever we have insecurities, we're looking for something to fill it other than God.
Yes.
And we end up making a mess, you know, but we have to remember that God is a God of order, you know, and what we wear on the outside, yes, we can have fun with it. We can express ourselves, but let's not forget 1 Samuel 16, right? God is looking at our heart. He's not even paying attention to our appearance.
Beautiful. You know, so we've got something called fast food, which we know isn't good for us. Mm-hmm. And now there's fast fashion, which isn't good for us either. Because we'll buy something, or not we, you and I, but as women in general, I remember when the cold shoulder dress was popular a few years ago, where it was a normal dress, but from here to here, like 6 inches was cut out.
Yep.
And I bought one of those.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. But it was cold. So I had to wear a sweater over it.
Oh no, not one of those.
And it was
times.
Like, really, really? So one summer and then it was out. But fast fashion, it's like, well, let's just get anything. If it looks kind of like it, if it doesn't fit, if it doesn't work, I'll get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So who's the inventor of fast fashion? Eve. Our mother Eve. In Genesis 3:7. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. They sewed fig leaves together. They made themselves coverings. And, of course, a fig leaf is going to dry out tomorrow. You're going to have another and another and another. And that's what women are doing nowadays. Mm-hmm. They go, they buy something. It's cheap. It doesn't survive the first washing. They don't say, okay, stop, rewind. That wasn't a wise purchase. No, they say, I'm ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Women attribute mistakes to themselves personally.
Yes.
And what did God do to solve the problem? There was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
God designed us to be naked without clothes, naked and unashamed.
Wow.
With Him every day, which sounds like, oh, could we get back to that? We will. We'll be covered in glorious coverings in heaven. And I don't think there's washing machines in the background of the throne room. But he made them coats of skin in Genesis 3:21. And yes. How devastating must that have been?
Yeah.
Some animal that they maybe had named, they mm-hmm. knew was killed for them to be covered.
Mm.
So it's like all fashion has a cost.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. And I love what you said, you know, in its purest form, we were supposed to just be open and exposed totally before God. And there was such a purity there.
Mm.
And the reason for the covering was because there needed to be a modification for what God had originally intended because of Eve's actions.
Sure.
And I think about that because now, because of the connotation of a lot of things in fashion, now when we even say the word nude or naked or exposure, it automatically has this negative feel to it.
Yes.
You know, because of how everything started, how it's continued, and also how the fashion industry has corrupted a lot of that purity. You and I were talking yesterday, Michelle, about this Christian model who wrote an article about how Christians can participate in the fashion industry. Beautiful girl. Her name is Christina Olie. In her 2020 article, she actually says the world understood full well the power of beauty, but in most instances corrupted it. She goes on to say, everything God made was solely for the purpose of giving him glory. Beauty was meant to radiate goodness, truth, poise, modesty, and purity in its highest form.
Beautiful.
So this is where we're starting from, but it is difficult to get back to that place and still feel like you're kind of with the times, so yep. to speak, you know.
Yep.
But I love what you're saying about fast fashion as well. You know, how often do we think, maybe I could focus more on wearing recycled clothing
sure.
rather than just getting something new and then having this inner battle with myself about how it fits me, about maybe where it hugs me in places that I'm already insecure about and tossing it to the side, you know?
Yep. Well, Ecclesiastes, of all places where it's vanity, vanity, vanity over and over again, says in chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, go, eat your food with joy, drink your wine with a happy heart, because God has already approved of your works. Mm-hmm. Let your clothes always be white, and don't spare a precious ointment on your head.
Wow.
Let your clothes be white. Well, you know something white is going to require care and concern and, you know, okay, be careful with that. Would you dress your kids in all white?
I was just thinking, I never put my children in white clothing unless it's Easter
okay.
or a very special occasion. And there are special rules when they wear it until we are done with the event.
Well, the point of those two verses is for us to say, enjoy
mm-hmm.
what God has given you. You know, we are not required to wear long, somber, gray and black clothes, communicating the futility of life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Rather, we have to live in hope and trust.
Yes.
And we can enjoy fashion, and it can be an opportunity for us to express virtue.
Yes.
How about fortitude? We're going to build a core wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have pants that I've been wearing for decades. All right. Maybe 10 years. 10 years.
Yes.
Because I take good care of them.
Yes, I do too, as well. I bought them on sale.
Mm-hmm. Once I saw the first pair, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. The material's phenomenal. I bought every color they had. I've got them in my closet. I only wear them a few times a year, pack them away for the season that they're not wearing them.
Okay.
And I've built a wardrobe around a few quality items, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone's got to have a black sweater.
Right.
Black pair of pants.
Right.
I look ridiculous in full skirts, but I'm 5 foot something on a good day if I stand up straight and wear heels. And I was kept buying these full skirts.
Oh.
And I looked like a Kleenex box.
Oh, no.
At one point, I donated 17 skirts.
Wow.
Because I kept buying the wrong thing. And now, with the internet, you can take a little online course, go to someone's blog or vlog, and learn how to dress proportionately with less clothes.
But you know what? I love what you're saying, Michelle, because it speaks again to how you personalized your wardrobe.
Sure.
Even if that was the fashion or that was the style at that time, maybe you saw other women in it that looked glorious in it and you said, oh, I want to look like that. You came to this point.
I still miss that red skirt.
All right. Let's not take it out on the show. But coming to this place of peace and saying, you know what, on me, that does not flatter me. And more importantly, I'm not comfortable wearing that. I don't feel beautiful. That's always how a woman wants to feel. You want to feel like what you're presenting, you're okay with. You're okay with what you're projecting to other people. And of course, that you're representing God in a way that makes him proud.
I love that.
And you know, that makes me think about this other portion of the article by Christina Olie. She said she was coming out of her house and her neighbor was shocked because she was carrying a Bible in one hand.
Oh.
And then she also had the most smart, quote unquote, outfit on at the same time. And she said her neighbor was shocked because she said, Christians don't generally value aesthetics more so when it comes to dressing. I usually identify them by their long, unattractive dresses or oversized suits that look at least a few decades old.
Oh my.
All they care about is going to heaven.
Oh my.
So this was her neighbor's representation of Christians just from an appearance perspective. Those people do not care about how they look at all. And when we think about how we represent God, even through how we look, there is a kind of ministry that can be there.
Absolutely.
If someone is looking at you and saying, how does she feel about her Christianity? I see her leaving the house often. I know she's going to Bible studies. I know she's going to church, but it doesn't really look like there's a lot of vibrance there, you know? And so when we're talking about this today, I really want to encourage everyone who listens, as you extend your God-given design, your God-given personality through your outerwear, that is something where you should make the effort to show people, what are you saying? How are you comfortable? And you know, it can change, but maybe you have your own trends going on. You know, the kind of clothes I was wearing when I was in college, very different than the clothes I'm wearing now.
Oh my, yes.
As a mom, you know?
Yes.
But for me, I still am staying true to my personality, my likes, and also just as you did, I had to let go of some things because as I grew as a Christian, certain things were no longer appropriate. Certain things were no longer comfortable for me because now I realize my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and I am representing God, whether or not I want to or not in every facet of that word. If I am going to outwardly say that I worship Christ, people are going to start assessing what I do, how I look, how I sound with more gravity. And you know what? That's okay because God has called me to be a light. So it's okay to say things like this is inappropriate.
Yes.
Or this is no longer part of my life.
Yep.
Or this is too revealing.
Yeah.
You know, how do we define modesty? Modesty is not, am I okay with it? It's, is God okay with it as I am expressing myself? And what is my motive behind why I dressed the way that I did?
You know, temperance is referenced to frequently in the Bible, and we don't really know what temperance is, but it's using self-control to enjoy pleasure.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
You know, but we understand our generation, you and me and everyone around us, is marketed to.
Yes.
I think we see like 300 to 500 marketing advertisements a day on our phone, on our TV, driving. And the speed of fast fashion is incredible. I saw a documentary and it says the Gap puts out 12,000 new items every year.
Wow.
So, and they want you to know it won't be here in a few weeks. We're only making a few. Come get it now. Buy it now.
Wow.
H&M does 25,000 a year. But Shein, S-H-E-I-N.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's like the newer one.
1.3 million
oh my gosh.
New items per year.
Wow.
This is not temperance.
Wow.
How many ladies have bags in the closet with clothes with tags on them? You know, why? Why did you do this?
Yeah.
Justice, we have to think about some of the ethical issues of fast fashion.
Oh, absolutely.
That young children are in sweatshops. People are in working conditions. There are armed guards. You can't, I've seen there are armed guards outside the warehouse. You can't leave until your shift is done.
Wow.
And this industry targets poor people who can't afford to spend $40, that's probably ridiculous now, on a nice pair of pants that will last you, for me, 10 seasons.
Yes.
You know?
And these are the parts that they kind of block from you because they don't want you to realize the gravity of the lives that you're affecting by making yourself look better. They don't want you attaching that new sweater to a little boy who's barely able to eat his meals that day.
Yes.
And I've seen the same thing. I've even seen some of these workers laying under the tables where they're sewing things, and that's how they nap because they cannot leave.
Oh my gosh.
And they're tired, they're overworked. Mm-hmm. And I understand, even for us as Christians, you know, we cannot go into all of these places, take all these people out, and improve every life circumstance. That's not what we're charging everybody to do.
No.
But considering the fact that maybe for the sake of not adding to a problem, you could think twice about how you're making your purchase, or more importantly, why you value the new thing more than the thing you already have that works, or why you discount certain places because of name brands, because of the fact that they are discount stores. Let me tell you, I will run to a discount store with no shame.
Oh yeah,
I will go in there, but I will purposely look at things that do not have as thin of a material because I am looking to rewear, rewash, keep for a long time rather than just get it for this one occasion.
Yes.
And that's a very different way to purchase items. And I realize that, but at the same time, maybe part of our own personal trends can be incorporating more than just what we think, just that singular view, you know, yes, I got what I needed, but for the sake of somebody else that I know could be helped,
that's good.
I'm going to readjust my decision and I'm going to purchase more wisely, more considerately for myself and for them, because really, I don't need anything else. Well, a lot of times we don't really need all the things that we're reaching
for. Well, there's this thing called retail therapy. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand what is the root of that. Mm-hmm. It's a discontent or unhappiness or shame.
Yes.
But we have to also think about, okay, we need God to get to the root of that.
Yes.
You know, if you find yourself in a stupor in Marshall's, why? You know, why? Honey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But we have to realize that other people are affected by peer pressure.
Absolutely.
When my kids were little, I could not buy them a pair of jeans in Costco.
Mm.
You know, oh my gosh, they were one third the price. Come on, they're better material than what you want at, you know, Levi's or any store. I'm not dissing Levi's. But no, they could not wear Costco jeans to school or to a school event.
I still remember that as well, you know, because as a mom taking care of kids, you're going to think about the overall picture. Ooh, we can cut down on cost in this area.
Yes.
And you horrify your children. I remember being like, you're not actually going to purchase something from here, are you? We're here for groceries. I remember that clothing section at Costco.
Yes.
And I would go in there, you know, looking around, making sure nobody saw me, you know, just kind of browsing around. And even if I did like something there, Michelle, just like what you're saying, there is this root thought process of you're not allowed to wear that unless you want these kinds of consequences. And I hate to say it, but it's true. Also, there are these economic divisions and there are these racial and these cultural divisions.
Sure.
I remember wearing a pair of jeans that I really thought I looked very cute in. And somebody said to me when I was, I believe in sixth grade, why are you wearing white girl jeans?
Oh.
And I thought, I just like them. I liked the color. I liked the style. I liked the fit. And just like you, when I saw that I looked nice in them, I got a bunch of them. But do you know what I instantly felt when somebody criticized me?
Oh.
You can't wear these. You can't wear these here, or you can't wear these publicly. You have to be ashamed now that you got this.
Oh.
Now, I had no knowledge of the fact that this label was attributed to any type of culture or race, but sometimes people take these things to these degrees of this is who we are. This is how we define ourselves.
Yes.
Stay within the circle.
Yep.
Don't step outside of this or you will be somebody who's scoffed at or shunned, you know?
The music industry and the sports industry have a tremendous effect on clothing.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever these amazing music artists, and yes. I think they are amazing, but mm-hmm. whatever they're wearing,
oh, yeah.
everybody wants to
and
wear.
And that's intentional. That you is know? Definitely how people grow their name, and they say, go sure. make what I design famous, wear it in your music sure. video or in your YouTube video.
The first I became aware of it was when Michael Jordan was playing basketball, and all of a sudden, all the kids had to have these $100
yes.
Michael Air Jordans.
Yes.
You know, and of course my kids wanted them. And $100 was like 3 weeks of grocery money.
I know. I know.
It was like, this was in the, you know, the 80s. Come on.
Yeah.
So do we just ignore beauty and fashion and, you know, wear our grandmother's sweaters and dresses?
No.
No, because in Exodus 28:2, God is speaking to Moses and said, and God says, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother.
Yes.
For glory and beauty.
Yes. I love that portion so much, Michelle. And I love the creativity and the attention to detail because it shows the vibrance of God. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows the colors. It shows the design patterns. You think about words that are included in this chapter, words like tunic or sash or gold, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, carnelian, beryl, jacinth, agate, amethyst, topaz,
I'm getting
jasper.
Excited just thinking about this.
I told you when I was looking up some of these stones, I was like, oh, I want this jewelry so bad. This is such beautiful, natural jewelry. You know, but we have to remember we are in a system that constantly invites us to look away from purity and fall into yes. the corruption. We are definitely numbers. People do not care about us. They just want us to buy the shirt.
Of course.
So it's up to us to say, you know what? I'm not going to lie. That is beautiful. That is gorgeous. But I need to think about the whole span of this decision, whether I'm a mom, whether I'm a young adult, maybe I'm saving for something. Mm. Maybe I'm a young adult that's dating somebody else. And I know that my clothes are not quote unquote up to par, but I still want to feel beautiful. I still want to feel handsome. What can I do? You can pray about the concern and then you can look your best with what you have, with what you can afford mm-hmm. and make sure that the relationship that you're in is not leaning more in a superficial direction because that person should understand whatever the status is in your life, you cannot present an image that you cannot uphold. And if there's pressure on you to do that from them, is that the kind of pressure you want on you wow. for a lifetime or wow. within a friendship?
You know, trends and fashions can become idol worship,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we have to have that latest thing. We have to have what we saw in our neighbor, what we saw in someone in church, you know, and we go into that vanity mm-hmm. of Ecclesiastes. But I like to think of the wife in Proverbs 31. She mm-hmm. is clothed in fine linen
yes.
and purple.
Yes.
So God is not saying, no, you have to walk around in sackcloth and ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ezekiel 16, God rescues this beautiful girl who was abandoned. And it says from verses 10 to 13, I clothed thee with embroidery. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered you with silk. I decked you with ornaments. I put bracelets on your hands and a chain mm-hmm. on your neck. I put a jewel on your forehead, earrings, and a beautiful crown. You were decked in gold and silver. Mm. Your raiment was linen, silk, and embroidery.
Wow.
So God has a standard for
yes.
us that we need to say, well, hey, you know, a little bit of something is okay.
Yeah. And God, he delineates that, you know, in different passages of the Bible. Think about the prodigal son.
Oh.
When he came home, what's the first thing his dad said before they began celebrating? Get the robe, get the ring. My son is here. Something that classifies this person and this moment as special.
I love that.
You know, and trying to make sure that you feel special or look special is not sinful. I think a lot of the times we just think that because we're focusing on anything regarding our appearance, Michelle, it just means we're vain, we're self-absorbed, we're consumed with ourselves. But you know, I grew up in a family where presentation was highly valued. It wasn't elevated over everything, but it was something that we paid attention to. And just watching my mom and making sure that she understood that my comfort level was a little bit different with hers, depending on my age. You know, she still kept a healthy boundary for me, because sometimes you don't even know the message that you're projecting through printed words on a t-shirt or a low cut top or a short skirt. You know, you could be inviting attention that you don't want. And then you have the nerve to get upset about it when you elicit a response in other people. Maybe you could even make people feel offended, like you're not approachable as a friend or as a stranger. So I loved having that example set before me of like how you look, you know, embrace the creativity of being able to choose your own clothes and build a style. But it's okay to say things like, I've never heard of this designer. And yes, I am still getting these pants and I am at a discount store. And you know what? I can look around here and take something of value. I don't have to say, no, I'm going to Gap next door, because that's what's acceptable to society, you know? And sometimes we need that. We need that unofficial permission to put the proper perspective in place for where our outer appearance goes. It is a conversation between you and God. It's a conversation between you and yourself. But remember, you are God's now. And when you gave him your life, that included making sure that your outward appearance still brings him glory.
I love that. You know, we can embrace modesty with confidence.
Yes.
You know, really, if you have to wear such a low-cut dress to attract a man, do you really want that one?
Right.
You know, that's all he cares about?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Let's be confident that we look pretty, that we've maybe studied. I had to study proportions and realize a lot of times I was dressing in the wrong. Just like, oh, a shorter sweater, or oh no, a longer sweater, you know, and proportions. And you can find this stuff out at the library. But it's not about showing more skin to be more attractive.
No, it's not.
And comfort. Oh my gosh, there's nothing worse than you're out somewhere and you keep tugging on that skirt.
I can't stand it.
Or you keep pulling up your neckline.
Yes.
You know, don't buy that kind of stuff. But you should create a wardrobe. When you look in your closet, there should no shame. You know, like, oh, I bought this, but it's not my right color. You know, I look dead in green.
No.
And so
I'm sure you don't.
I do. I don't have anything green in my closet.
Oh.
But then that frees me. Having those rails, you know, like a train needs rails to go forward. I have these rails. You know, I don't wear pants with zippers. I'm sorry. I'm at the age where it's like, no, everything's got to have a stretchy, happy waistband.
Different season. It's a different
season. You know, and some of my friends are horrified. But it's like, no, comfort now has risen to the top.
Yes. And you know what? I really love what you're saying, because I think we really should reflect on Matthew 6:25, right? That encourages us. That is why I tell you not to worry. These are the words of Jesus.
So good.
That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? And you know what? Every time I read this verse, it just sobers me.
Yes.
It sobers me and it brings me back to understanding there is always going to be some trend, some fashion, or even some problem that wants to steal my attention and consume me.
Sure.
And the word of God is such a cleanser, Michelle. It's such a cleanser to bring you back to the things that are most important. That doesn't mean don't value anything else, like you said, but it means that what my heart is like towards God is always the biggest and most important question of the day. And I remember years ago, before I met our ministry, I was actually part of another denomination, and there were very strict rules for women that I was not used to.
And tell us about these rules. Were they on a piece of paper when you walked in the door?
Actually, they weren't on a piece of paper when you walked in the door, but if you wanted to be a member of the church, you did have to sign a contract that stated all of the ways that you were to dress as a woman, and you would not violate it.
Oh.
And so some of the things...
Okay, I was joking. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I didn't sign it.
But I had no idea that was a thing.
I didn't either until I was in the pastor's office, expressing so much joy about becoming a member. I had been going, I had wanted to join the choir. You know, I was at every service. I was at every event. Everyone knew who I was. And this was a church that was recommended to me by a church that I went to in college. It was kind of like a brother or sister church relationship.
Nice.
And I remember the way that that paper was slid in front of me. It was almost like, your door of opportunity awaits you, Jasmine. You just have to sign on the dotted line that you will not cut your hair anymore. You will only wear skirts. Will not go to the movies. You will not wear makeup or jewelry. It was everything that I was questioning because I had seen so many ladies around me doing it. And in my mind, what I thought they were conveying was, this is my outward expression of purity. That's why I don't do this.
Okay.
So I was considering it because I thought, okay, you know, as I grow in my faith, I'm meeting these older women and I see some younger women that are doing this and they're not walking around sad, hanging their faces. Maybe I'm missing something. But then just the opposite of what you said, I wanted to experience that freedom when I was just going and putting my clothes on for the day. And I was developing a depression instead, because I would hear the way people that were in tank tops or, you know, wearing pants were spoken of in these quiet circles. And I thought, if Jesus doesn't care about appearance, why is this such a focus to the degree that I have to sign on a dotted line? Wow. Jesus, are you in this?
Wow.
Are you really in this? And I remember praying, and the next service I went to, I was completely distracted. I don't know what the sermon was about because I was so focused on my outward appearance.
Oh.
And I just felt that according to the word of God, the word heart is in the Bible over 800 times. And so if God's focus is on my heart and all my focus is on is my clothes, that's not my influence. And that's not a godly influence.
I agree.
So I said, you know, if this is an extension of how these women worship, because for them, that's their conviction, fine, but it's not mine. And I need to go find what God wants me to do and who God wants me to be.
Mm.
And years later, whether I'm wearing, you know, my jeans or a long skirt, I am totally in belief that God is most concerned with whether or not our fellowship is strong,
That's
whether
beautiful.
Or not our relationship is active.
That's beautiful. I love that verse in Matthew 6:25 and that idea of take no thought.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean, oh, dress like you don't care?
Mm-hmm.
And what grieves me the most are two things. One, to see a woman who looks like a plastic Barbie doll.
Mm.
She's so made up. Her hair is so perfect. And God only knows I would love to have perfect hair. But you know what? We work with what we have.
Yes.
But she is so unapproachable
mm-hmm.
because it's like, this is armor.
Yes.
To be accepted, to feel good about herself.
Yes.
She's gone so overboard.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, a little hurt in your heart for this
yeah.
lady. But then also to see someone so sloppy.
Yep.
Where I wouldn't wear that
yep.
to garden. And
right.
honey, you're wearing that to church. Of course I don't say anything.
Right.
But I just think, oh, maybe, you know, just a little cute sweater.
Yeah.
And maybe clean shoes.
Oh,
you
you're
know,
so sweet.
But it's like, I don't say anything. I just pray God help them.
Yeah.
So I've got a few little tips. So I know we're almost at the end. Prioritize quality.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got your basics, then you can spend $10 on a wild top that's in the color of the season.
Yeah.
Thrift, upcycle. I love
oh,
shopping
yes.
secondhand.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to get stuff that they paid 10 times as much.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's already washed.
Yes.
So you try it on, you know it's going to fit. Be mindful of your impact. And I like to create a signature look,
mm-hmm.
a little uniform. Everything for me is a variation on sweatpants, a t-shirt, and a hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so today I've got pants on. They're not sweatpants. They're nice, but they're old. I've got on not a tank top, but just a little bit better. And my famous black sweater that I've been wearing for years.
Mm.
But that's my little wardrobe.
Yeah.
And my goal is oblivion. I see in my closet, I have things that work, that I can wear, that fit. Let's go get dressed. And then I don't have to think about this for the rest of the day.
Mm.
You know,
I
am dressed
that.
And ready to go.
I love it. I love it. You know, and I remember yesterday when we were talking about two verses in the Bible that a lot of women specifically hear. I know I heard it in the past. It's 1 Timothy 2:9 and 1 Peter 3:3-4. which talks about adornment, right? Mm-hmm. Women adorning themselves in mm-hmm. modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And, you know, I loved doing this study, Michelle, because when I was looking at a hermeneutics website, it makes the emphasis that the verb for adorn is attached to the woman. Oh. Paul is not speaking about adorned items. So what does that tell us? This all goes back to your heart posture towards God. God is completely fine if you want to add some additionals and enhance how you look, so long as you worship Him first. God is fine if you want to try out some new styles and explore some different colors, so long as you worship Him first. We need His wisdom as we make these decisions, because we live in a very fast-paced society. It's always trying to get us to look at the new thing, the quick thing, the stylish thing, the thing that will get you the high five, get you the pat on the back.
Yep.
And I understand it. It's something that all of us deep down, we truly do long for that. Who
sure.
wouldn't want to walk outside and have everyone high-fiving them to the car, high-fiving them into the church building, saying, "You're so awesome." You know, that is something that we all have in us to feel desirable. But you know what? In God's freedom, we trust His boundaries.
I love it.
Right? And He is always a God of order, making sure, because He knows, just like the first mention of the heart is in Genesis 6, He knows that our heart is full of wickedness and we need to be saved from ourselves.
Yep.
You know? And you know what? If it ended there, it would be hopeless, but it doesn't. There's a freedom of the on the other side where God says, "I have great plans for you," right? Plans that are not to harm you. And yes, that can extend even into making your decisions about whether the vibrance you feel in your walk with Christ is going to be conveyed through your outfit.
I love that.
You know?
You know, ladies, if you come to visit Greater Grace, please don't think we're judging you.
No, absolutely not.
We
absolutely
are
not.
Loving you.
Yes.
We may notice things about your apparel or lack of apparel that are a little disconcerting, but we are praying for you.
Yes.
We are not labeling you or judging you.
Yes.
But please, it's spring. It's a good time to go through your closet,
yeah.
get rid of stuff that doesn't fit. That's, if you could not donate this with good conscience to Goodwill, why are you wearing it?
Mm.
You know, I had a top the other day where I was like, "Oh my gosh, it's frayed. It's faded.
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel good when I wear this?" No. So it went out happily.
Mm.
And I could not donate it to Goodwill.
Right.
Worn it out.
Right.
But you know, if you're saving stuff from 30 years ago, honey, let that go.
And you know, sometimes don't we do that? We save it because we remember that night, or we remember what happened with that friend. And you know, conversely, we can save certain pieces that are given to us out of endearment. This was my grandmother's.
Sure.
This was my mother's. This belonged to someone I truly admire, and I couldn't believe she got this for me or gave this to me.
I love it.
You know, it doesn't all have to be this black or white issue, you know? And I love the approach, Michelle, of just what you said. How do you feel about it? Is it personal? And does it cause any type of disruption between God and I? Those are amazing mm-hmm. questions mm-hmm. to ask whenever we do anything in Christ. And that does include fashion, right?
I love those words from Aaron, beauty and glory.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
And do I feel good about this?
Yeah.
There was something I was avoiding wearing. I go through my clothes in a little habit, left to right. And if I don't wear something, I say, "Why?" And I put something on and it was like, "Oh my gosh, this is itchy."
Mm-hmm.
So it had to go. Nothing wrong with it. Just itchy. We want you to dress and feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So put something on. You have to do the bend over test. What's sticking out?
In the front and in the back, right?
Yep. You know, because I want to bring God glory.
Yes. Absolutely. And that makes me think about, in closing, our show that we did about biblical personhood. You know, God took the time to make us. We have our own individual personalities, our own likes and dislikes. Take the time to discover who that is.
Sure.
Ask yourself questions. What are my favorite colors? What kind of textures do I like? What kind of designs do grab my attention? You know, enjoy the creative side of God that he's placed in you, because we're bringing him glory, right? We are all his children bringing him glory. And it's amazing how much that can have a testament from the moment somebody looks at us and says, wow, there is a zealousness, there is a vibrance there, there is a deliberate, purposeful way that she lives her life, and I can see it.
I love that.
Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Wow, guys. Well, we just thank you so much for joining us today. And every time that we are here, we love to be with you. We just want to encourage you all, don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for our next show as we talk about being in the world, but not of it. God bless you guys. We love you. See you next time.